Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that.
Okay, someone help it out. Huh? And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
We love
Patrick
O'Dowd.
Yeah! Greg
DeMarco,
I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable. That's going to be a soundbite right there.
You're welcome! This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Damn!
Boy, we are live. It is the Greg DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd and Greg DeMarco. My name is Greg DeMarco, and you are listening to this show at really the only place you should ever listen to this show.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
That is, of course, TheChairShot.com, the website that I am the publisher of, and always have lots of fun there with myself. Lots of great writers, lots of great podcasts. Go check it out, thechairshot.com, at thechairshot.com on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. Of course, you can find me at Chairshot Greg. You can also even email me at GregDeMarco at thechairshot.com. As you know, this show is the best 55 minutes in wrestling, where myself and Patrick O'Dowd continue our mission of helping you enjoy wrestling more. I said his name, and I don't do this show alone. Oh no, I do have a certain best friend that I do this show with, and I want to bring him on now, and instead of making him wait and listen to me shill everything. And well, there's only one way to do that.
FABULOUS.
Of course, the evolution to my crown jewel. It is the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like it.
Isn't that exciting?
It was exciting.
I'm
proud to be the evolution to your crown jewel.
You should be proud to be the evolution of my crown jewel. I don't know if you can, but if you can maybe move the microphone slightly closer to your face, that might help us hear you.
Oh, I don't know if I can, man.
Oh, yeah? Okay. If not, it's okay. It's all good.
I've been having sound problems all week. I think I need a new sound card or something with this.
And you're sound guy, too. Like I want to bring that up at some other point. You're like audio guy sometimes on things where you expect perfect audio on everything.
No, I don't expect perfect audio. I also expect a good connection. I don't always get that either. But,
yeah,
you know,
true.
We deal.
I will share that
my voice is a little under the weather too, so part of this could just be me, little horse.
If this were a visual show, we'd like hold up a little horse and it'd be you. But it's not a visual show; it's an audio show.
Aw, Puddin'.
There you go.
So we'll do that instead. So you can of course find Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. It's WrestlingRealng. REALIST, and you should go follow him. Why should you go follow him? because 398 of his closest friends already do. You went up by two since last week's show.
I picked up a couple of bots.
You know what I think? I think I need a soundbite to play for Patrick O'Dowd's like Twitter count. I think we almost need a thing there.
Please follow me. Please follow.
Right.
In fact, and I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure that the two new follows that I got on November 5th, as I look at my mentions here, those aren't exactly people.
I'm clicking on your followers now to see if it shows me who they are. But
right.
Sometimes it usually show you an order, but not necessarily. However, I'm suddenly not on your profile, so hang on a second. Let's see. Here we go. The Funko Shop follows you. That's impressive.
I know.
As does the Funko Pop Shop and some
right.
other people. Yeah, I don't know. Some of these people follow me as well.
Oh, yeah. I got nothing. At this point, I've decided that 398 might be as good as it gets for me on the Twitter.
Nah, you'll get up there.
I'm not the household name that Greg DeMarco is.
Maybe not,
you know,
but you'll get there.
Followers. I'll really try that.
By the way, you're my favorite follower that you have, and I share this person as well. Her Twitter, her like the name, not the handle, it's just the last Noel. But her Twitter handle is at Madam Cole, baby. That's just fantastic.
Yes, yes, very
that's
much so.
Good stuff right there. We love you, Madam Cole, baby. I hope you're listening. You're probably not, but you should be because we just talked. If someone could at Madam Cole, baby, on Twitter and let her know that we just talked about her, that would be absolutely fantastic. Maybe I'll tweet it out. Who knows? Yeah, you're at 398, so you're getting there. I thought about tweeting and telling people to follow you even earlier today, but then I didn't. And I'm kind of glad I didn't so we could get the truth of where you are because
right.
I'll probably have to do it and we'll see what happens. But very, very exciting. Quick question. So this week's show, are we 30 minutes late or are we 30 minutes early?
We're 30 minutes late. I'm not even – we ain't playing that. 30 minutes late.
Compared to last week, we're 30
excited.
Minutes early.
I was excited, Greg DeMarco. I was excited. I was like, this is what I call hubris. Hubris punching me in the face. I was all cocky. Was all, man, I'm going to finish early. Blah, blah, blah. I get a text. Be like, bad news.
Who sent you that text?
One Greg DeMarco.
That's right.
Trying to be a family
man. I'm back! And I'm I just felt like playing it. It just seemed to be appropriate. So, yeah, I had some changes today. The kid went to a later soccer. I don't believe I've told you. First of all, if anyone's listening right now, there's something you got to do. You got to head on over to prorecipes.com/thechairshot. We've got two new designs up there. People need to go out there and get two new designs, but I'm not going to tell you why. Listen to our good friend, Christopher Platt, tell you why you should go to prorecipes.com/thechairshot and pick up one of those amazing chair shot t-shirts.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I am Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the MVP, Mr. Christopher Platt, reminding you all to make sure you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official like a referee's whistle chair shot t-shirt. We've got them all. We've got all colors. We've got all shapes and sizes. We got them all for the men, the women, and the babies from 8 to 80. Blind, crippled, and crazy. It doesn't matter. Make sure you join the movement and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen. Shalom. And always use your head.
See, that's exciting right there. That's how you sell t-shirts. Exactly. Exactly how you sell t-shirts. How many t-shirts have you sold, Patrick?
Zero t-shirts.
Yeah.
Nice try, though.
You didn't even try. It's not even a nice try. That's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to at all.
I didn't
not
realize
your
job. It was my job. I didn't record it.
Other duties as assigned. You know how that works.
You know, like, wait half hour for a podcast to start.
I started half hour early compared to last week.
Right. I know. It's all about your time. It's all about
you were.
All about Greg's
tell
time.
Everybody again how excited you were about starting the show an hour early.
I was extremely excited. I had like a dance break. I was talking to the Mrs. O'Dowd, telling her I keep the noise down because we were starting a little earlier.
keep the noise down.
while I take my robe off.
That's right.
But anyway, I'm afraid
I've got some bad news.
Basically,
then we start late. Yep, that is what happened. Also, because of this, I was going to come home and I was going to get – I had everything ready. Rundown was done last night. Show was set up last night. Everything was ready. Only thing I had to do was make the song that Patrick O'Dowd picked out. And so we don't have the song to play for this week's episode. Unfortunately, no song. No song to give.
That's fine. Can I still – but, you know, I picked the name. I picked that particular song.
Oh, hang
very
on. There's something
for this show.
But the show's been on for 10 minutes or something I got to do.
This is the One Girl Revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to The Greg DeMarco Show.
It's time to get off. Oh.
Because it's right here and I want to play it again. Also, as we know, Crown Jewel was last Friday. Well, Patrick knows that but refuses to acknowledge it, but that's okay. He doesn't have to. We'll get into it a little bit, but not too much for a good reason. Our good friend Steve Cook, who's not on the show, he wrote an article over at thechairshot.com. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's our website, thechairshot.com. And he basically focused, 1,000 plus words on the real Crown Jewel.
You stinking fools, I need you to stand up on your feet. Show respect for the crown jewel of the embassy. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Ray!
So good. Okay, Patrick O'Dowd, continue your story.
I mean, it wasn't really a story. It was, and by the way, it's not that I didn't acknowledge that Crown Jewel happened or that it was a show that was happening. I just said I refused to watch it.
True.
Very big distinction. Like, and
you didn't miss
if
much.
You listened to last, yeah, I was like, if you listen to last week's podcast, you know my reasons why. But I did see the results.
And by the end of this week's show, people will know who they should blame in a situation like that and why. But we'll get there.
Fair enough. And looking at the results, I did catch the results because I knew you were going to talk to me about the show. I was interested to see with one title certainly in the balance. I wanted to see who was going to come out on top of that. And then I started reading the results of the show. And then I started catching the early results for Raw the next day. And about the time that I was going through the results of Raw and the results of Crown Jewel, you asked me what song I wanted for Song of the Week. And do you remember the name of the song?
Same Old Song and Dance.
By Aerosmith.
By Aerosmith.
Because here we are, Greg. It's the same old story. It's the same old song and dance, my friend.
But is it, though? Is it?
It
I
is.
Mean,
it kind of
we'll talk about it.
Hey, let's talk about how the celebrity tag team that was fighting with each other then lost to a lesser tag team because it's okay to give them a pseudo rub, but then they won't really get the rub because they won't beat anybody better than them.
I'm okay with that this time around. I really am.
I mean, it's one of those things. Where you're okay for it now, give it 2 weeks.
Right. I'm gonna give it longer than 2 weeks.
No, I'm just saying. You know where I'm going with this. You know, they'll feud with somebody that we will consider acceptable. This win isn't elevating win, you know, against one guy.
Of course, it's against one guy.
Because you can't have him beat both of them. Like, that's just crazy.
No.
Conflict or no, Greg.
Also wouldn't make sense within the current storylines.
Yeah, right. Get it. It's just one of the, like, yeah, whatever. Same old story. You know, went to what you knew there at the Crown, which I kind of predicted. Like, if you'd actually asked me to pick that match, I would have picked Brock Lesnar to win. So, I don't know.
I
like,
would have too.
Feels like the WWE went in flux, and we don't know quite what we want to do yet. We'll go with what we know, and then we'll.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you just want to bury everything we're going to talk about now and not?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
should we just not have a show?
That's why
at this point.
No, we can talk about the show. We can talk about.
You just ruined the whole thing.
I don't know that I ruined the whole thing. You asked for my feelings and my story.
No, I didn't.
You asked for a story. Yeah,
I asked for you
to pick the song.
I didn't even want you to tell what the song was going to be.
Well,
I didn't want the why.
You needed the why. It doesn't say this. No, it usually says why. Why did you think the why?
It does say that in the rundown if you have it open and in front of
you
because I emailed it to you. But then I didn't actually get the song, so we weren't going to do it.
No, I don't care.
I know you don't care.
I
That's why you've already blown ten bullet points out of the water.
I haven't blown 10 bullet points out of the water. We can still talk about your 10 bullet points. You big baby. My name's Greg DeMarco. Patrick O'Dowd ruined the show. Maybe show up on time.
I was 30 minutes early. I can't even say what I'm laughing.
I know you get.
I'm going to text Steve Cook. I bet I can get him on the show in 5 minutes.
Oh, dude, don't do that. Come on. Now, why you got to go to Cook? You know, I've been listening to a lot of Bruce Pritchard lately. And I think I'm going to try and steal a page out of his book. If you start threatening me with Cook, I'm going to put together the worst Steve Cook impersonation a la Bruce Pritchard imitating Jim Cornette.
that is pretty bad.
Like,
almost as
bad
as his Mick Foley and Terry Funk, which are the same impersonation.
He's a pretty solid big man.
I am perfection!
Steve Cook!
Perfection!
Take the fish.
He's not here. Don't worry.
Anyway,
it's
I'm
funny
sorry,
you say he does
sorry,
a good.
I think
he does a good.
Vince.
It is a good Vince. Here's what I learned the first time I ever listened. And you know, I was late to the party. Not as late as you were, but I was super late to the party. I realized the first time I listened to an episode of something to wrestle with that all these podcasts where someone does a Vince McMahon impersonation, they're not doing a Vince McMahon impersonation. They're doing an impersonation of Bruce Pritchard doing impersonation of Vince McMahon. And
I think so.
To the point, because they've even admitted on various episodes of the show, most of those things aren't things Vince has actually said.
No, not at all.
So, like they've even admitted Vince has never said chocolate titties. So, but yet it comes out on like over 50% of the episodes. And I texted this to you, and I need you – this is your homework for next week. You have to go listen to the episode.
I got to go in the archive and listen to episode 22 around the two hour mark.
2 hours, yep. 2 hours even.
Yep.
When I looked at it, it was 2:03, and they had already talked about the topic that you are going to just – you won't see it coming because I didn't see it coming. And when they said it, I was like, oh, wow. And then I was like, oh, Patrick needs to hear this. So, yeah.
I've been going through the archives. I picked it up. And here's the thing. It's basically 83 weeks with Bruce Pritchard talking about the WWE. Give or take. And they're both good shows. Like, I enjoy listening to them. They are perfect lunch hour time fillers for me. So I'm in the middle of the Sable episode just because what I've been just going through the archives and being like, this topic interests me. This topic interests me, and so
I don't even think I've listened to that one yet.
I listened to a watch along SummerSlam 88.
Yep, I
heard
that
one. Which was the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks. I listened to the Triple H and Stephanie episode,
which was a couple weeks ago.
I listened to the Carlito episode because I love Carlito.
That was all right.
It was pretty good. I liked it. And now I'm listening to this, the Sable episode. I need to get a different app because my Podbean app only goes back to – it doesn't go all the way back to the beginning.
It doesn't?
It stops at about – I'm sure there's a way to do it. I just haven't –
Yeah, there's a load more button at the bottom.
But
because I listen on Podbean. That's the only reason why I'm saying that.
But I've got it because it takes me to episode 107 is the – Sable episode. It's like the very bottom of like what it was. But yeah, it goes down, stops at 87, and then I have to release to load more. Yeah, you guys can keep working. Oh, now my phone is trying to play it as if I wanted to listen to it. That is not what I wanted to have happen. We'll just do that. Thank you, Podbean. That was worth it for everybody who's listening right there. Craig DeMarco, are you still there? Did I lose you? Did you lose me? Oh, pulling the curtain back. It's about time. This hasn't happened, you know, in one episode. Craig DeMarco has been booted and is currently away from the podcast. He will be calling his way back in, I'm sure, and we will have our usual run-through of... complaining about our podcast hosting site, our good friends at Blog Talk Radio. I really got to question us and why we seem to have this sad devotion to this poor hosting site. So hopefully Greg will get back on. But no, we were talking about some of the podcasts out there, I think, as a way to wind up. And Greg has set it on me that I have to listen to episode 22 of Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard to get, I guess, the full lowdown of my homework. I gotta have a homework assignment. I'm actually going to see if I can get on here and actually read what the title of the episode is.
America, fuck yeah!
So reading the title won't help you at all.
Oh, really?
It's a Q&A type episode, so it's not...
Oh, kind of like what Vince did this week.
Yeah, they don't allude to this topic in the description that I saw at all.
Gotcha.
No, won't help you with your homework. Nice. But on your rundown, Patrick O'Dowd, the Word document that I sent you, what is right below the big heading for you picking the song of the week? What's the next big heading?
Who booked this shit? ? But more importantly, how?
Yes, and that's the key we want to talk about now. One of the topics that you have wanted to talk about in the past, and we finally got around to, and I think now.
Yeah.
So the big question, of course, is why? Why is this conversation taking place? We've been doing this show for 7.5 years, and so why are we finally talking about it now? Patrick has long wanted us to discuss this topic because it's so often a hot topic among the internet wrestling fans. If you're listening to the show, you're an internet wrestling fan because you're a wrestling fan on the internet. The show is broadcast on the internet. And so this is a topic that you've wanted to talk about. But now is a good time. And there are several reasons listed in your rundown of things that have gone down in recent weeks and months, which have caused people to have a sort of an increase of their own focus on booking. What is that first bullet point as to why this might be a hotter topic now?
The first one is that the reports that there was no clear-cut WrestleMania main event in place as the event approaches.
And that was pre-Roman Reigns. Basically. Before then, there were lots of reports that there was no clear-cut WrestleMania main event, which, by the way, is laughable, and we'll get to why that's laughable here shortly. But that's just not true at all. None whatsoever. Then, of course, we had the fact that the reports of Roman Reigns' leukemia revelation has sent creative into a whirlwind because their champion is no longer at their disposal. I don't mean their champion in terms of the guy who holds the belt. I mean the guy in the company there champion, the one they're championing, the one they've been pushing for 4 years, he's no longer at their disposal. Which we've seen evidence of in the past. I mean, I remember when Edge announced his retirement right after WrestleMania 27, creative went nuts trying to figure out what to do. They rely on these guys and they make plans around these guys. What about the next one, Patrick? I'll let you take care of the next one.
Evolution was such a good show, and NXT continues to please the internet fan, but there's dissatisfaction among the internet with the main roster, and it continues on and on and on to this day. And you're absolutely right. It's you see it like it's so funny to watch the internet respond, or at least Twitter, and that's really where I see it. I'm sure that's where you see it too. Watch Twitter respond to Raw, SmackDown versus their reaction to NXT, where it's you know, I was talking about cycles. Preach it. I want this person. This person's amazing. They must be called up. They get called up. Why are they ruining such and such? Anyway, go ahead.
It's true. I mean, that's exactly what happens, and it's hilarious to me. Because everyone just thinks you're going to come up and you're going to get, you know, shot to the moon. And the booking of Finn Balor when he came to the main roster didn't help that at all, because he did get shot to the moon. And then he got hurt. So that you know, definitely hurt the internet.
And even then, he's never quite come back to that either. And I think that's the other thing, you know, to talk about Finn Balor and the way people feel he should book. Like, do you want to talk about a top guy that everybody's like, this should be booked this way? Finn Balor is that guy. If I read one more tweet about he was the first Universal Champion and nobody remembers.
I don't even think he remembers at this point, so it's okay. But it's a prop. It's not that
people
important.
People
slept into that. But yeah, at NXT, if people love NXT, but it does please the internet fan, and we're going to talk about it as well. And then, of course, with Roman Reigns out of the picture, Braun Strowman was the assumed winner of the Universal Championship at Crown Jewel, but he lost. He didn't win the belt. Brock Lesnar did. He's once again the absentee Universal Champion. And this brings about opportunities for people to bitch and moan and complain about the booking. And that's always the common phrase that people like to complain about, the booking.
Right.
And sometimes they are complaining about the booking. Sometimes they're complaining about the writing. Sometimes they're complaining about the producing. But they always call it the booking. And we're going to talk about why that is. So, million-dollar question, Patrick Dowd, of course, is what?
How does booking work?
I want to talk about that this week because we've had lots of conversations with people on and off the air, and I've been in a position to book shows, and so I want to talk about that a little bit. And you know, you learn from mistakes, and that's exactly kind of where I sit here today as well. But before answering, I wanted to define some roles because I think people tend to confuse these roles as well. So if you go to your standard independent wrestling show, there's a role that's the booker. And I'll the way I thought about this today, actually, as I was driving and causing you to be 30 minutes late on this 30 minutes early program, I was like, okay, when I ran the shows that I ran with PHX Wrestling, there was a certain setup that we had. I was the booker. Okay, and that meant that I decided what we were doing, and I decided what we were doing long-term and short-term. And so I kind of set forth the booking of the show. And on some independent wrestling shows, including every other show that's ever been run in the state of Arizona, it ends there. There's a booker and there's no one else. The booker tells you what to do. You go out, you do it. You figure it out. You fill in the blanks. Everyone's confused. That's why the scene is what it is here. And that ended. Now, I added a wrinkle that a lot of people had asked for, but no one else was doing, and I added the agent. And that's a role that, you know, people will sometimes say, but not fully know what they're talking about. So I would determine, let's just say, on my first show, there was a women's match. It was the third match of the night. It was Holla Dead versus Ashley Grace versus Christy Janes. And I decided that Holla Dead was going to win. And I had a reason for Holla Dead winning, because at the next show, Christy was going to become the number one contender by beating Holla Dead and her sometimes partner, sometimes foe, Thunder Rosa, who you know more as Cobra Moon at Lucha Underground. So I booked that. And then the Hawaiian Lion was assigned to be the agent to that match. So he took what I said and helped them put it into place in the ring and fill in the blanks, because I basically was like, here's the match, here's how long you have, here's the finish, and then they did the rest. And he helped them do that, and that's what the agent does. So I didn't tell people what to do in their match. I didn't say, oh, use this spot, do that. Here's how you do an arm drag. That's not my job. That's not what I'm good at. That's not
right.
What I could, if I told people to do it, they would laugh at me because I've never wrestled. And you don't have to have wrestled to be a booker. And some people want their booker to have wrestled, and some people realize it's probably better if the booker hasn't wrestled. It just depends on the situation. The booker should never be an active performer. That's something that I fully believe, because it's just too easy for somebody to call out a conflict of interest. When Adam Pearce became the booker of Ring of Honor, he couldn't wrestle for Ring of Honor. Delirious almost never wrestles in Ring of Honor because he's the booker. So,
and he's a one-off at best.
Pearce was the same way. I think as the booker of Ring of Honor, I think he appeared more as Repo Man than he did as Adam Pearce. So
right.
It kind of gives you an idea. What the agent does is make sure that, okay, if you're going to do a delayed suplex spot and hold him up and the crowd's going to count to 30, the next match can't do that because that's silly. It just happened in the match before. Or, okay, in the second match of the show, you're going to chase the referee around the ring after he messes something up and accidentally trips you up. Okay, well, the next match can't chase the referee around the ring because the second match is funny, ha-ha, not the third match being funny, ha-ha. So we got to make sure. Otherwise, the fans will be like, we just saw this. What are they doing?
And we've seen a tangible example of this going wrong amongst the fans.
Yes. Even in Ring of Honor, we saw it.
Like, yeah, at a Ring of Honor show, what was said? Do you remember what show I'm talking about?
Are you talking about the Dusty booking? Or the Dusty finish?
Not the Dusty finish. The Dusty finish, that's different. Like, you were talking about moves and seeing the same,
Of course.
If I see one more super kick, everybody had a super kick spot.
Yes, they did.
It seemed like in this show. Like, it was ridiculous.
That was also the same show where someone yelled at Milano Collection AT, where's Chris Tucker?
I don't know. Where is Chris Tucker?
I don't know. Where is Chris Tucker? Which was the best? Because the whole place gets silent, and then that was also the Dorchester event that we referenced last week. So
it was.
Callback to last week. So the booker kind of sets things forth, and the agent kind of puts it into motion. So that is how it should work and how it works in a lot of different places. And the booker can also set the long-term vision. So I talked about who's going to win on the show, but as the booker at PHX Wrestling, the first ever main event was Alexander Hammerstone versus Ricky Starks. And I decided that Hammerstone was going to win. And what we didn't get to, because life got in the way and Greg had to focus on health, was that eventually there was going to be a rematch and Ricky Starks was going to win. Then there was going to be a little mini tournament to crown the first champion. Three matches earlier in the night, those three guys had a three-way in the main event. It was going to be Hammerstone. It was going to be Ricky Starks. And it was going to be kind of an underdog would be the third person in there. And Hammerstone would win, but not by pinning Ricky Starks to continue to let that forward. The agent for the match was a guy here locally by the name of Joe Graves, who was a wrestler, and a damn good one, but he was injured at the time. So he still came and helped out from a booking perspective or from an agent perspective. And he's been in the business less time than a lot of these other guys, but is probably a better agent than most of these guys. And that's just a compliment to Joe Graves and what he can do. So he kind of knew what the long-term plans were so he could put that forth in the match and make sure they were telling the beginning of that story while still putting forth the main event match that these guys were putting on. That was his job as the agent. And they all worked together. And there were different agents throughout the night. Sometimes the agent is an agent because they're part of the match. For example, second to last match of the night, Sage Sin wrestled Brittany Wonder for the Women's Championship. And it was anything goes. They fought all over the building. And the agent was a guy by the name of Randy Therese. And you probably haven't heard of him. He spent a good 15 years in the business. And he spent a long time in OVW, but didn't get called up from there. And he was linked to Sage Sin. And there he was outside at the ring with her while he was agenting this match. And they didn't need him to be out there to make sure the match went well, but there was a run-in spot, and the run-in spot needed to be perfect. And so with him being out there, we could ensure that it was perfect. And it was for that reason. It had everything to do with Randy Therese. He deserves all the credit in the world for that happening. He was the agent for that match. So that's kind of how you assign agents to matches. Occasionally, the agent will be in the match. Most of the time, the agent's not in the match. And so that's where we are. Now, turn things around at WWE. They don't have a booker and an agent. They have a writer and a producer. And this is where I think people sometimes get a little bit confused because of the positions and how things differ. WWE is writing television. And on a television show, you have a writer and a producer, and that's what WWE is doing. So they have writers who write the show, and they have the producers who make it. Adam Pearce is a producer for WWE. He's not an agent. He's a producer. He still does some of the agent functions, but also does some producer functions. So it's really weird, Patrick O'Dowd, because most people complain about the booking in WWE when they're really complaining about the writing.
Right.
And those are interchangeable. Road Dogg is sort of the head of creative, so he's like the head writer. Now, you could still say that Vince McMahon is the booker because Road Dogg is not deciding who's going to win at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon is. So Vince McMahon would say, okay, we're going with this guy. You know, it's months before, you know, WrestleMania 12. Vince McMahon probably said, all right, we're going with Shawn. And so that told the writers, write stuff for Shawn, get us to right. Shawn and Bret at WrestleMania, and Shawn's going to go over. And so they knew that, and they had to get there through the writing, and then they wrote it. It goes to the producers produced it. So the booker still exists. So really in WWE, you have the booker, the writer, and the producer.
Okay,
and that's
still
with you. How we get there. Now, here's the key that most people have heard but tend to forget about. What's that? I want you to read it off, the bullet point after writer, booker, producer, agent.
Backwards.
You book backwards. So what does that mean? And I'm going to give it to you, and then I'll explain Crown Jewel a little bit with that. So you book backwards. So basically, you decide where you want to end up. And for the WWE,
yeah.
In most cases, it's WrestleMania. So a lot of times you hear that they decide shortly after WrestleMania what the main event is going to be for the next WrestleMania. So shortly after WrestleMania 33, they sat down and Vince said, Roman's the guy. I want to end WrestleMania 34 with Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. Now, that didn't happen. Got delayed and whatever. But I'm sure that's what, you know, they knew they were going to end WrestleMania 34 with Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar a year in advance. And they wrote with that in mind all the way down there. So
yep.
I look at Crown Jewel and everybody assumed, I'm not talking about you and I, but everybody assumed that Braun Strowman was going to win because I think it's so funny. Today there are these reports. What were the original plans for Crown Jewel? And it's like we're breaking the internet by telling you that Roman Reigns was going to win at Crown Jewel. Like no one could have figured that out. No one could have guessed that Roman Reigns was going to win at Crown Jewel. But now, of course, you know, we know that Brock Lesnar won and plans were changed because Roman, you know, had to go off and then has to take care of an issue with leukemia, hopefully beat it and come back. But I'd love it. Maybe. We'll see. It took longer than that the first time. But it's funny because this is being reported like it's news. No, it's common freaking sense.
You don't even have to really have a strong background in wrestling to probably have guessed. Had he not been here,
if you asked 100 people who have been watching a good portion of the product since WrestleMania, and you said who's going to win this match, 97 out of the 100 would probably say Roman Reigns.
Right. Absolutely.
Estimation, but that's what I think. Two would say Brock Lesnar, one would say Braun Strowman. It's just my guesstimation. We'll never know the truth. But
absolutely.
So going into. Going into Crown Jewel, a lot of people assume that Braun would win because they said in their head they were like, moving forward, that's a key phrase there, moving forward, you need Braun Strowman as your champion. Go ahead.
Well, and that's all based on another assumption that comes along with this part-time champion versus full-time champion business. Like, that I think that there's this, there's too much reading into Brock's impending other contract that leads a lot of people to believe that, you know, Brock can't possibly be the champion again.
Right.
So that's
which
all
is hilarious.
As
an aside, I love the reports of Brock Lesnar's contract that because of Crown Jewel, he recently signed on for two more appearances, completely forgetting the reports of earlier in the year that Brock is on a per night deal where he makes approximately $600,000 to wrestle and $125,000 to appear on television. Now we're throwing that out the window because now we're saying Brock signed two more. No, he didn't. He's still under that same Fahrenheit deal that always allowed him to fight in UFC if he wanted to. Nothing has changed. They just called Brock up and said, hey, we want to add these dates to you. And Brock says yes because Brock likes money. It's that simple. It's really just silly in all this. It's absolutely hilarious to do that. So everyone automatically assumed that Braun was going to win because moving forward, we need Brock Lesnar. That's not what WWE did. When Roman Reigns was going to be out, Vince McMahon said, okay, I guarantee you, I'm not even saying this might be what happened. I'm telling you this is what happened. I wasn't there. I'm telling you this is what happened. The first thing Vince said was, what are we doing at WrestleMania? He didn't say, yep, what are we doing at Crown Jewel. He said, what are we doing at WrestleMania? Honestly, Road Dogg probably asked Vince, what are we doing at WrestleMania? And Vince probably said, Braun's going over at WrestleMania. I want Braun to win the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. And then they worked backwards. So they probably worked back to Royal. Does Braun earn his shot at Elimination Chamber? Or does Braun earn his shot at Royal Rumble? How does he earn his shot? Let's just say they go, Braun's going to win the Royal Rumble. To me, that makes sense. Braun wins the Royal Rumble. Then they got the crown. You're like, okay, what do we do there? Well, Brock has to win. Now, you could have had Braun win, then lose along the way and maybe involve Drew McIntyre, however they want to do it.
Sure.
McIntyre's push will probably come after WrestleMania, and everyone will be frustrated because they've been calling for it for months. But that's just how these things work. So they booked backwards. They didn't immediately – when Roman Reigns was out, they didn't say, what do we do next? They say, what do we do last? And then they work backwards from it. And that's why Brock Lesnar won at Crown Jewel. It has nothing to do with same old shit. It has nothing to do with a part-timer. It has everything to do with where they want to end up. And that's what drives people crazy because no one thinks like that.
Sure. I we've talked about this many times, and that it really is. I'm gonna go with a much more basic story as to why I can't do this, because I don't it's very hard to do, to think that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's very fascinating. Like, I'm terrible at fantasy booking, you know, 6 months down the road, even when I know what the end result's going to be. And you would think that it would be easier, but because we don't think logically that way, we don't think about the end result.
Right.
I think too many people actually think about it more about the way work was done in the 90s, which I think it's funny that we've been that we brought up those other podcasts to start the show. Because if you go back, and one of the things I found fascinating is when you listen to how they talk about how they booked in the 90s, the way that it was done was very much what you're describing, where it was always talking about, you know, booking towards the next show, not booking towards the destination. In some cases, you know, in the late 90s, when that Russo guy was around there a lot. And some of
even then, they had an end game. It's just that Russo booked differently along the way.
Yeah, well, there's also an argument as to what that end game really was. Like, and that's one of the things I picked up out of listening to this too, is if you listen to Pritchard, and the way he describes it, he says, like, you know, 2 weeks down the road, you know, we maybe flipping scripts, or that the end game was just brushed so fast, so that they burned through stories. That was the other big part of it too. And I think that, you know, I still think storylines are a little fast, but, you know, that they're not as fast as they were in the 90s. Late 90s, early 2000s.
That's true.
At all.
But that's because that's when the product shifted, and then it had to shift back. But because before that, you had four pay-per-views per year.
Yep.
And year-long feuds. And so your week-to-week television was squash matches. All you were really doing was building guys. And you were telling your stories through an event center, through highlights. And half of what you booked was to sell house shows. And to sell tickets to the arena shows. And so it's so funny because when they read through the results on shows like that, there's so many times where they'll talk about Saturday night's main event and it'll be like, Orndorff beats Hogan by count out. And I'm just giving that as an example. I think that happened. Or Earthquake. When Earthquake finally wrestled Hogan, they wrestled one match and the finish was a count out. And Conrad's like, why in the world would you do that? And Bruce was like, because when you wanted to see Hogan win, you paid to go to the arena to see it. Because that was still the moneymaker. And it was right around, and the only reason I know this is because they're talking about it right now in one of the episodes I'm listening to. 2002 was the year it shifted, when house shows were no longer the biggest moneymaker, and it became television. 2002.
I listened to that one, too.
Was the year that happened.
And you very much, you also hit on the other thing, that TV, right, it's so funny to hear people wax nostalgic, like, from our generation who watched wrestling in the 80s and early 90s before that shift happened, and talk fondly about superstars, all-American wrestling, those like one-hour shows that were on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and please don't ever put them on the network, WWE, because they're terrible. I really went back and thought about it, and I was like, damn, he's right. Like, it was squash matches, like you talk about. Your main event, and this is so funny because who's one of my favorite jobbers of all time, Greg? Can you
Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz. You might get a main event for a superstar, and we'll put air quotes around that main event, that would be like Tito Santana taking on Barry Horowitz. And that was your big highlight. But you would see Hulk Hogan twice. You'd see the Ultimate Warrior a couple of times.
Right.
Where they're doing that promo in front of what they didn't call it. Didn't call it a green screen, but something else.
Yeah, something promo, I can't remember what it was called.
There'd be a graphic behind them, and they'd say some nonsense. They didn't even necessarily need to have an interview person there. They'd have clipped footage of some other big-time event. Like, I must have seen the Ultimate Warrior Papa Shango feud, where the goo comes down the Warrior's hair, I don't know how many times, over and over and over on shows, building up to whatever their blow off was going to be after WrestleMania 8.
By the way, Chroma Key, that's what it was called.
It's called Chroma Key.
It was the green scenes. Chroma Key, invented in 1958, apparently, according to my crack research staff, which is me
Quick
Googling. That's right.
Well done.
Good job, Google. Yeah, so the product completely changed. But even then, they knew where they were going. The issue we ran into with the advent of Raw and eventually Nitro is that they still had the end game, but now they had to produce weekly episodic television that people cared about from week to week. And they had to do it and beat somebody else in the ratings. And so they still had to book with the end in mind, but now the journey completely changed.
Sure.
That's not an easy thing to do. And that's where I think that's why those shows don't talk so much about the jobber days. They talk about the days of competition because that's what's interesting. Because that's where people were fighting. That's where people were arguing. And that's where people were having to come up with more and more content on the fly because you had to book from week to week, put on compelling television, but still getting to, you know, whatever you needed to get to. All right. You still had to get to Austin versus Rock at WrestleMania. How do we get there? And do all this other stuff. And that's why Mick Foley never would have been a world champion in the days of Superstars, Wrestling Challenge, and All-American. This wouldn't have happened.
Right.
But we got it in the Attitude Era because we're in the middle of a ratings war. And it didn't impact the WrestleMania plans. We had to crash TV ourselves to get there, but it still worked. So that's really what we had as challenges and where we had to be. And it affected the product that you and I and millions of other people watched on a weekly basis.
Right.
But it's interesting what you said, that you just don't logically think that way. And
no, I think that a lot of people don't.
Most people don't, you're right. And it made me think about, you know, if you're deciding whether or not somebody should be a booker, what I think you should do is you should give them a moderately easy math question without a calculator. And tell them to solve the math question and tell them to show your work. Because, and I just now thought of this, I've always done math working backwards from the answer.
Yeah.
And I do math, what used to be called weird, now it's how they try to teach math in schools, and it's one of the five different ways you solve a math problem or whatever. And when I stopped using a calculator.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, you know, Singapore or whatever they call
four.
It. I don't know.
Yeah,
and for that, say, whatever. But yeah, I start with the answer, and I'm like, okay, you do this plus this. Well, this is the big number, and you work down from there. Next thing you know, I have the whole thing figured out, but I did it backwards. I worked backwards from the answer. And most people just don't think that way. And now they're trying to teach people to think that way. But that's, I think, if you put two people down and you're like, okay, here's a math problem, here's a math problem, whoever solves it forward isn't your booker. Whoever solves it backwards is your booker, and that, or your writer or your producer, whatever.
Right.
And that's rare. And that's why not everybody can do this, and maybe that's why people don't get it. Because when people complain, and this is the next bullet point, what does it mean for the internet fan? And I've put in there, you're looking at it all wrong. They look at one episode of Raw, and they complain about one episode of Raw. And I don't think you can, but I don't know how you stop. That's, and I don't think you do either, based on what you just said a minute ago. How do we get people to stop looking at one episode of Raw as a standalone thing?
I mean, I don't know that there's a good answer for that, because, I mean, one of my favorite refrains over and over again when something happens on an episode of Raw or SmackDown or whatever is, what? Let it marinate.
Right.
And it's the idea of see where the ride's going to take you, and listen to the story that they're trying to tell. You know, I think this falls into a couple of other pieces that we've talked about before, that idea of the playlist mentality.
Yep.
Prevents people from seeing the story that is being told versus the story they want told. There's a lot of short-sightedness. I think there's a refusal to look at talent for who they are, and where they're going to be. I'm looking at you, Elias. Seen a lot
yep.
of love for, no, I've seen a lot of love for Elias right now.
Yeah.
And
that love has been there. It's been up and down.
Rightfully so right now. I think that he is on a really good roll right now. But, you know, I keep waiting for the, you know, Elias is going to be the next world champ sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's coming. You know, it's coming. And so when you look at stuff like that, you know that people aren't going to stop doing that. They're not going
right.
to start. They're not going to walk away from that, because they right now, like, I know that there are people at their keyboard ready to type comments to you about, and I, mostly you, cause you have more than 398 followers, about how wrong we are about them, about how wrong we are, about how this works, and kind of deflecting to what the real thing is too. Cause, I think that a lot of people don't pay attention to the bigger picture and how these guys fit and where it's supposed to go.
Which is really funny that they're telling us that we're wrong when we've, you know, this learning comes from people who have done it at the
yep.
high level, you know, and but yet we're wrong. That just is silly. But people can think we're wrong. I don't think they're wrong at all. All that they want. That's totally fine. The whole how can you change? I just don't know. And I really don't think it's possible. But then, okay, Game of Thrones. Do you watch – what's a popular TV show that you watch? I know we don't even watch TV anymore. Like, it's crazy. But
I mean, I watch a lot of TV. I watch Game of Thrones.
Okay. So when people evaluate Game of Thrones, are they evaluating it on a episode-by-episode basis, or are they going looking at the long-term stories?
Actually, I think you got to take a step back on Game of Thrones. We got to find something that's not based on a book yet, that's already written, because it's a little too easy. Let's do The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And The Walking Dead, also based on a comic book, but it is now wildly departed from the source material.
Right.
So it's a little bit easier to I think, go with where you're going with it. The Walking Dead's ratings have been way down this year and over the last couple of years, because people have soured episode to episode, like, as things have gone poorly and the story has changed. I think a lot of people do look at it episode to episode, even though it builds towards a season finale, and decide that they are done with whatever because X, Y, and Z is happening and they don't like it. Did I mess with your analogy?
No, it doesn't mess with my analogy, because they don't know the end game, and they don't see the end game. And I think maybe that's why the popularity of Game of Thrones is still there, because they kind of know the end game a little bit. And even if it changes and there's tweaks, you know, there's still an end game, and they can see it. They can see it off in the distance. I also think what hurts wrestling fans is the Attitude Era, because the end game, like right now, and this is something that Christopher Platt, who of course recorded the t-shirt commercial we played earlier, he loves to say about WWE booking: the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. And WWE for years has taken a straight line. And in the Attitude Era, they took anything but a straight line. They took every detour, every exit, every stop for dinner, every stop to take a piss, every stop possible to get from point A to point B, and to the point where you didn't know where they were headed. Now it's usually easy for us to pick out where they were headed. I just told you how Crown Jewel was booked by telling you what's going to happen at WrestleMania, and there's a good probability that I'm right. And that's just crazy to think in the late 90s, you never could have done that. You never could have guessed at the end of WrestleMania 14 that it, you know, who was going to main event WrestleMania 15. You just couldn't have possibly guessed that back then. And now it's much easier to do. And so because they took you on that journey, it really changed things up for us. And now people aren't being taken on that journey so much anymore. It's a much more relaxed journey than it used to be. And it's like you were used to ride a roller coaster. Now you're riding like the Lazy River. And it's not as enjoyable, because the Lazy River is fun in short doses, but you kind of want to get on the roller coaster a little bit. That's why the week that Roman Reigns stepped down, you also had Dean Ambrose turn heel. And everyone was like, whoa, what just happened? And that was like the closest thing we've had to Attitude Era booking in a long time.
Right.
Evolution, the show we talked about, Evolution was such a good show. In the grand scheme of things, from WrestleMania 34 to WrestleMania 35, Evolution will have almost no bearing on what happens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're right.
It was a great one-off show, but I remember I told you last week, I said, hey, why did Shayna Baszler win the NXT Women's Championship? Do you remember what the answer was?
I don't.
It was the only title that changed hands on the show, and they felt like they needed a title change because they already knew where they were going with Ronda and where they were going with Becky and Charlotte. They already know. They probably already know, and they've probably known for a long time, that it's coming down to Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 35. And thus, something else for Becky Lynch to do as we head to WrestleMania 35. It's kind of funny because
she
in an interview before...
She could find Asuka.
She could, and maybe that's what will happen. And you know, and then if Asuka doesn't win, people go crazy again. Maybe Asuka wins the... I don't think Asuka wins the Royal Rumble because Charlotte has to, so she can jump brands. And I think Ronda kind of gave away the finish of WrestleMania 35 a little bit when she said she's ready to go off and have kids, which she said at Evolution, which was, you know, kind of funny. She talked about how her focus is soon going to be having a family. And so I think after Mania, she's going to go away for a little bit. And so Charlotte's going to beat – I've told you a couple things now. Braun's going to win the Universal Championship at WrestleMania. Charlotte's going to beat Ronda Rousey to win the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. Go ahead. Do your LOL.
LOL, Charlotte wins.
Exactly. Used to be Nikki, you remember? Now it's Charlotte. So
yep.
That's where everyone and people.
Championships.
Yep.
Seven.
Yeah, number eight's coming. Don't you worry.
How long
whatsoever.
Has she been on the main roster?
Not that long.
Not.
She was already champion before WrestleMania 32. So
not
that can kind of tell us.
Championships long. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they did all that trading back and forth with Sasha Banks for a while. So
I know.
That's what that is.
I keep wondering if she lost a random match in Tokyo somewhere at a house show that we don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
No,
it's just a false count anywhere match in Charlotte. That's all it was. But it's so funny because Evolution was an amazing show.
It's a terrific show.
But Evolution could have been a bad show and still had no impact on what happened. Or it could be a terrible show like Crown Jewel. Terrible show, tremendous impact on the long-term plan. And because they kind of wrote Evolution as a standalone show and not with, you know, they knew they had to do certain things and they just kind of did the rest of it. Because it had a random six-person tag. It had the veterans in the opener. It had the Battle Royal.
It was a fan service show.
Yeah, it was.
Like it was a fan service show.
But if you do every single show as a fan service show, you're never going to get anywhere and it's going to get old.
Well, and it's a different – you've been hitting on it all night, Greg. Like, it, the the purpose at the end of the night is, like, what was the purpose of that show? Of these shows.
Right.
Like, because Crown Jewel is the same thing. The next Saudi Arabia show or the next Australia show, like, that happens, or the next, like, these special house shows, like, it's like a Clash of Champions. Like, this is our new Clash of the Champions, except we're selling
it
as a pay-per-view. Because, like, one thing sort of happens that is important towards the greater story. Like, it'll be in keeping with whatever. But, you know, the real build, let's talk about what the real build around Crown Jewel was. What was the build for Crown Jewel? Was it any of the title matches?
No, it was Shawn Michaels and Triple H versus The Undertaker and Kane.
Exactly. And that's all you need to really know about the importance of Crown Jewel.
100%. And it's funny because along the way, what are all the reports tell us about Survivor Series? Not going to be brand versus brand anymore. And I love it because now everyone's...
the SmackDown team? What?
And well, now I love because everyone's saying, well, it's only brand versus brand because Roman left. And that's not true at all. This was always going to be brand versus brand.
Yeah, it was always going to be brand versus brand.
And what's funny is that they've kind of had to build Survivor Series in 2 weeks because of, you know, Evolution and Crown Jewel.
Right.
And I think it works.
Too many shows.
And I think that works for Survivor Series
because
it builds itself because of the concept. And you don't need 6 weeks to build Survivor Series. In fact, it would be terrible if you took 6 weeks to build Survivor Series because it's champion versus champion for a lot of the matches. So that's set.
Yep.
And then you've got the men's, the women's, and the tag teams elimination matches. Those are going to be set. And you'll probably get a Cruiserweight title match on the kickoff. That's all you need. It books itself. And so you only need 2 weeks to really put that together.
Survivor Series has always been that.
Yeah. And look at the matches we have. Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey, Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura, and AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. Now, it would have been AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns, and we've seen that, and it was good. And I'll be honest with you, probably the best Brock Lesnar match we've seen in the past year plus has been the one against AJ Styles.
Yeah, and well, now we get it again.
You do, and it's probably going to have the same ending, unfortunately. Which is
I think it's going to be a fun show.
Unless Braun might cost Brock that match so that AJ can go over.
I mean, it's not title for title, so.
Right. Exactly.
Because that's the nice thing about Survivor Series that does give it an element of toss-up and mystery is that because none of these titles are up for grabs necessarily, these championship versus champion matches, AJ can win and it's okay. And Braun can cost him absolutely.
Becky can win.
100%. Becky can win and it's okay. Because, you know, who knows when Becky's going to drop that belt, if she drops that belt. But, and I hope their long-term plan for Becky is for this ride to go on a while because she's killing it.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to talk about that. I'm changing the 3-minute warning, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute. So we're gonna talk about the 3-minute warning next week instead.
Fair enough.
Because I think we need more time to talk about that topic, the 3-minute warning topic.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So anyway, I hope people understand we've changed how booking works. There's one last thing we've explained how booking works. That last bullet point, what does it mean for the internet fan? I left out one very important piece, and it came to me as we were talking about the television shows. The WWE isn't producing television for the internet fan. They're producing it for the casual fan who watches shows like The Walking Dead. So they want you to be able to jump in at any point and still see the road to the end point and still travel with them along that road to the end point. If you hop off for a month or two and hop back on, you still remember what's going on. You're still going along that road. You're still going to be there for WrestleMania. And not that all stories end at WrestleMania. We know that that's not how it works, but that's just the easiest example to give. So I guess what it means to the internet fan is, remember, you're not watching something that's made for you. That's what NXT is. That's what Evolution was. Because they know that the internet fan really just cares about the quality of the show on its own and not the long-term booking. I don't think the internet fan, most of them, really care about long-term booking. They'll call it out when it's convenient. But at the end of the day, if you put on a kick-ass show, I don't think they care about the long-term booking.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
So that's where we are. So that's, if we had a How Does It Work song, we would play it right now because that's how these things work in the long term. But I am going to change the 3-minute warning. You don't have it on your rundown, but trust me, Patrick O'Dowd, you can talk about it with no problem. We'll talk about the competition piece. I will say this. There is an article coming out on the Chair Shot later this week about our original topic was going to be, could anyone ever compete with WWE? Because it came up on 83 Weeks. And Ray Cash, who is an amazingly talented writer and podcaster, has more time now and is starting to write more. And if you go to the Chair Shot, he wrote a great article about WWC the Legacy, a brand for old timers, basically. And it's fantastic. And it got a lot of talk and discussion on Facebook today. And I urge you to go to the Chair Shot and check that out. Not because I want the clicks, although I do. By the way, for the month of November so far, our hits and our advertising revenue is up. We changed advertising revenue companies, and it was a great decision. And we haven't fully transitioned yet. It's just amazing how one little decision can change lots and lots of things. But so next week, a little preview, we will talk about, you know, it's just go home for Survivor Series, whatever. We will talk about competing with WWE, and I think we'll have some great material because of what Ray is going to write as well. Plus, I want to spend more than 3 minutes on it because I think the topic deserves 3 minutes. But we will spend 3 minutes.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Talked about the amazing job that Becky Lynch is doing, and how she's just killing it as the SmackDown Women's Champion. And earlier today, our own Eric Ames, who did a phenomenal job doing the news at the Chair Shot and doing the social media at the Chair Shot, and he just crushes it each and every day, literally 7 days a week. Like, the man doesn't stop, and he just does an amazing job. He sent out a tweet about Becky Lynch where he basically said, yo, I don't see it. Like, that's basically what he said.
I saw that. I saw that tweet.
And I originally replied with, I can't put it into words, but I do see it. And he replied back, yeah, I still don't see it. And then it hit me. And I said, it's about two things. It's about, and you'll love the first one, and you'll understand the second one. It's about attainability and reliability.
Yeah.
So we change that. Attainability and relatability. Not reliability, although she's obviously reliable. Attainability and relatability. Because it's fallen in your wheelhouse before, can you explain what I mean when I say it's about attainability?
I mean, are you talking in terms of look?
Person in general.
Yes. It's a person you can see yourself. What's that?
That includes look.
Yeah. It's a person you can see yourself being around and with. And that's somebody that you could actually connect with, that they're not so far beyond you that it's not like that's not an attainable person to be around. Like, I would view, I see where you're going. Charlotte Flair, for example, I do not view as an attainable person.
Right. Now, this is born out of the phrase they used to use called attainable hot.
Attainable hot, right? Yes.
And Becky Lynch, beautiful. And yes, maybe not, I'm not saying she's attainable hot, but you're getting exactly where I'm going with the attainability. People see Becky Lynch, and they could see themselves hanging out with her.
Oh, yeah.
Being friends with her. I don't think you can see yourself being friends with Charlotte Flair. Or Ronda Rousey, or Nikki Bella, for that matter. I think people could see themselves being friends with Daniel Bryan, but they could never see themselves being friends with John Cena, or The Miz, or Brock Lesnar, or even Braun Strowman.
Right. I don't know. Braun Strowman plays with puppies and stuff. He's kind of cuddly.
Yeah, he has the social media aspect, which is totally different. But so that's right. why attainability was top of my list with Becky Lynch, because that's their girl. She's out there. She's doing because they totally could see themselves calling her up before her match and wishing her well. And you could never do that with Roman Reigns.
Right.
Just not possible. Just not possible whatsoever. But you could have done that. You could have seen yourself being one of the people in the ring or at ringside in Memphis doing the yes movement and making, you know, changing the main event of WrestleMania 30.
Right.
Just had to throw that in there just because it's fun.
I know. I saw what you did there.
But it's attainable. You could be there. You could be part of that. You could hang out with Becky Lynch and her funny puns and everything that she does. You can't do it with Charlotte Flair. And then I said relatability. Because with Becky Lynch, they've created the most relatable character on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
She got passed over by another person. And that was her motivation for the longest time. And no offense to anybody listening, no offense to you or myself, we've all been passed over at some point in our lives.
Yep.
It's just the way it is. And we've passed people over as well. And we've been the Becky Lynch and we've been the Charlotte Flair. But we don't relate to the Charlotte Flair because we've been the Becky Lynch far more often than we've been the Charlotte Flair. And that's just the way that life is. And so when you take both of those things, attainability and relatability, and you put them together, that's lightning in a bottle.
Right.
And that's what they have with Becky Lynch. That's what they had with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Even though he was this mega star, he drank beer and he was mad at his boss. You could hang out with that guy because he didn't have this facade that you couldn't hang out with him like John Cena or The Rock. And you fully related to what he was doing at the time. Because everyone wanted to beat up their boss back then. That's just what they wanted to do. It was all about angst and people being upset. And he was the representative of that. So that's why it worked so well. So if they wanted to, they could literally push Becky Lynch to the moon right now, and it would work because she's attainable and she's relatable.
Right.
And I don't think people look at characters enough like that. And that's what you need in a top babyface, and that's why the heel turn hasn't worked for Becky Lynch, because she was attainable and relatable. And I don't think they realized she was going to be so relatable when they did it.
Yeah, I find no fault in that assessment, Greg. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make for a good talking point.
I don't really know what I can add to that, man. Like, you're kind of right.
And I can't think of anyone else on the roster who's more of both right now.
Not right now, no. Maybe,
and
I don't know.
Who were you going to say?
Well, I was trying to think of it. Like, because you mentioned Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan is pretty close. I don't know if there's anybody on the Raw roster that I can think of that's like that. Maybe Ambrose when he was a face.
Well, honestly, once we get the explanation from Ambrose as to why he turned,
maybe Ambrose.
So funny because he's a heel. And in some ways, I think Kevin Owens is that too.
He is that way. He's that in a different way, though.
He is. Because you could see him. You could see yourself hanging out with Kevin Owens. Look at him.
Well, we've spoken to Kevin Owens.
Exactly.
He's a nice guy.
And in a lot of ways, you can kind of relate to the things that he says, depending on what the subject matter is at the time. When he was the face of America, that was different. But in a lot of times, what his character is doing, exactly. A lot of times what his character is doing, you can relate to it. So,
yep.
And again, most of that is when he's positioned as a heel. I think that's why heels turn face so often, is because people just relate with them, and WWE figures it out too late, just like they've done with Becky Lynch. I can't think of anybody. Maybe that's why, for me, why I picked Toni Storm out so fast in the Mae Young Classic, because I think she's kind of that same way. She doesn't – when she's wrestling, she looks like this normal person, unlike her Japanese counterpart in the finals. And you could relate to her because she lost the year before. She was winning, you know, and like I said, before she hit that last Storm Zero, you saw it on her face. It was like she said, oh, my God, I'm going to win. And they just couldn't. It's kind of like, I haven't bragged about this yet. I don't even think you know about this unless you saw it on the wife's Facebook. Last Thursday, my son played a soccer game. Have you seen this on Facebook or anything? Do you know where I'm going to?
I think so. But I'll let you have your moment.
Either the Valley or the state. We'll call it the state for the purposes of this program.
Right.
Because it was the terminal thing for his playoffs, middle school playoffs.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw the post.
They win the district. They go to the playoffs. They win the quarterfinals are for some reason called a play-in. So it was one versus two out of the four different districts. They were one in their district. They beat number two. They go into the final four where they reseeded them one through four. His team was seeded number two. They played number three, and they played a tough game. I was there. It was 3-3 at the end of regulation, which at middle school is only 50 minutes. Not even as long. He plays club for 70, but whatever. They did two 4-minute overtime periods, because in soccer you do two periods, no golden goal, you just play until that time is up. Time was up, still tied 3-3. They went to penalty kicks. The first five people kicked, game still tied. The next three kick, still tied. Now they go 1-for-1. All right, number eight, round eight happens, still tied. I'm sorry, round nine happens, still tied. Round 10 happens, still tied. So it comes down to goalie versus goalie. Goalkeeper versus goalkeeper, because it's the 11 players that are on the field at the end of overtime that do this. My son plays goalie. I should have said that at the beginning. You know that, but the listeners don't.
I do. I
so, so the other team's goalkeeper is kicking a penalty kick against my son. My son blocks it. Now it's his turn to kick against the other player. If he makes it, they win. If he doesn't make it, this whole thing continues somehow. I don't know what they would do next. He makes it. They win. He's the hero. He blocked the winning kick from the other team and then scored the winning kick for his team. He literally got to be the hero. And it's not often that a goalie gets a score. He got to do that. He was the hero. Literally, they ran. They tackled him. You would have thought he hit a home run to win the World Series. It was that kind of moment for him. He'll never forget it. He's 12 years old. He'll never forget this. But here's what's funny, and this is what made me think about the whole Tony Storm thing. When Tony Storm locked in that last Storm Zero, the look on her face was, holy shit, we're going to win. I'm going to win. My son told me, 12 years old, when he blocked that other goalkeeper shot, he knew they were going to win. He knew there was no way that goalie was going to block his shot and that they were going to win and they were going to go to the championship. That's exactly – and he said the reason he knew is because all 10 of his teammates were right-footed. And when they kicked it, all their shots went to the left, whether it was blocked, whether they missed, whether it scored. They all went to the left. So he knew, I'm going to the right. He went to the right. Other keeper dove wrong way and sailed right in. No problem whatsoever. They won. They go to the championship. And that's what I saw. And it's relatable. People can see themselves in that position. They can imagine it. And then it happens, and you're right there with them. Parents were hugging me. Like they were just that. It was that crazy. Like grown men who I don't know who they are. I still don't know their name or who their kids are. Were hugging me because they knew that was my son. So it was that crazy. But people could relate to it. They could buy into it. I even posted about it on Facebook. That was the best book main event I'd seen in a long time because that's kind of what I equated it to. It's attainable because people can see themselves doing it, and it's relatable because they can put themselves in their shoes. That's why, to me, Becky Lynch works. And so when people say they don't get it, I think that's what they're missing.
Yep.
Next week, Patrick O'Dowd, because we didn't talk about it this week, we will talk about, can anyone ever compete with WWE? It's going to be a very interesting topic. And it's, you know my take, but I'm not 100% sure I know your take, which is fine. I don't want to know your take. I'll find it out next week, but it should be lots of fun. Between now and then, we got to get you above 400 Twitter followers. So, give it a shot. Tell people what your handle is. Let's try this again.
Why you got to do this to me?
Because it's fun for me.
It's at Wrestling Realist. That is WrestlingRealist.
There you go. Perfect. On the Twitter. You gotta go seek him out. The Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Follow him. Let's get him above. We got plus +2 in the past week is the net. You might have lost some and gained some.
I'm just saying, if we can overcome the robots that join and then unjoin, that'll get me over that threshold. That's
Patrick,
what we got to do.
You're now at 397. I just refreshed the page.
Oh, no.
You lost one. But again, short-term booking versus long-term booking. The end goal is 400. We got to take people on the journey to get there. So
the follower push actually caused me to lose follower.
You'll get there. Hashtag Patrick 400. I'm gonna hashtag it tonight. We're gonna get you there.
Patrick
400.
Sounds like a robot.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because half your followers are robots, so it makes perfect sense. So So we will get there. Look at this. So we started late, and you're still finishing earlier than you did last week.
Yeah, 13 minutes. Thanks.
Isn't that great? Hey, we went over last week. What are you talking about? More than 13
minutes. It's true.
It's like 37 minutes. Don't even try with that.
All right.
Say goodbye to the people.
Good night, people.
FABULOUS.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
Go follow me on the social media as well, at ChairShotGreg. Go follow at TheChairShot.com. Visit TheChairShot.com for great articles like the article from Ray Cash that I just mentioned and so many more. Steve Cook put out a great Election Day article on Jesse the Body Ventura. We got more coming tomorrow, including an amazing one from Jared Ganem. You're just going to love that. Check it out tomorrow when it drops. I think that one's either at 8 a.m. or noon, probably at noon. Just so many good things over at the Chair Shot. Look, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your reading. Our readership numbers are up. Our numbers on the website itself are up. On the radio network, they're up. It's just all up right now. It's usually a down time of year. So I really appreciate you listening, for your reading, for you being a part of it. We're trying to bring you the best product possible, and you coming along like you are just motivates us even more and more. So keep doing it. We say thank you. We appreciate you. And we'll do this again next week.
Makes a man, is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top, so we can know your story. Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man.
And I love you, Greg. Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You know your damn role, and shut your damn mouth!